On this episode of The Playbook, I have Randy Carr, the CEO and president of World Emblem International. The funny thing is, it may sound boring, but this is one of the most exciting ones because we talk about saving your business first. No time like the present. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I'm back at it here with Randy Carr, the CEO and president of World Emblem International. And I wanted to have Randy on because there's a lot of colorful positions in the world. And here we are. I'm out of my closet. Looks like you're out of a home office. Things have changed dramatically. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned about most entrepreneurs is that we can adjust better than anyone else. And looking at your career, it's been a pivot and adjust career. And you've seemed to learn to love what you're doing. And I really want to get involved with how you have built that perspective of, you know, taking what may not be, you know, the quarterback of your favorite football team, but yet you've lived this extraordinary life and you feel blessed for what you're doing, even in these uncertain times.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, you know, where did that perspective, that positive perspective start for you, where you kind of have this ability to be what you must be?
I think it started being a father, right? So, you know, watching my kids grow up and just, you know, my parents typically were semi-negative on stuff. So a lot of it, you know, I grew up in a mid to wealthy household. And then we kind of lost everything in 1990. My parents got divorced. My dad lost his business. So for a lot of years, I was very, you know, I was expecting the next shoe to drop all the time. And then after I had my son, or my sons, both of them, I just learned that people would rather, I'd rather be a person that people envied than pitied. And I think that a lot of that came from that. And then just as I grow up and reading a lot, being involved in YPO has been a big help for me. You know, now that I'm in my late 40s, I'm able to push down the things I'm learning on some of the younger people that are in my forum, for instance. And, you know, I know that the things I say have an impact on them. So I think a lot of that came from that.
Yeah. And I saw an article about kind of how your company creates a buzz, and there's, you know, all these different ways. And I think, you know, while we're in this period of what I call innovation and creation, because we're stuck in, you know, our new form routines, I think it's a great time to create a buzz. And I was hoping maybe you could share some advice on how we can, during these uncertain times, create a buzz for ourselves or for our companies.
So there's a couple things that I'm doing. First off, I have like a two-phase approach to this thing. The first one is very defensive, which is what I'm telling my staff. We need to get to the other side. So a lot of what we need to do is this thing has an end to it. We really don't know when it's going to be, but it has an end. And so there's three things that I'm doing every day for my entire, you know, we have 800 employees here in 7 different locations, including Europe, Mexico, Canada, the States. So everybody's remote. I happen to be in my office, but I'm the only one here. So,
that's worst, man. Being by yourself in your office, I can't do it.
So creepy. It's creepy. It's eerie. It's, I don't know, driving to work is creepy. Just everything's creepy. That's the only word I could put to it. Now, we're in South Florida, so we're in hurricane land, too. So, like, this is very, like, the day before a hurricane, like, this is what it feels like. Which, beautiful out, the sun's shining. You walk outside, you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm waiting for the next. So, it's like, but with a hurricane, you know it's going to come, be over, and your house is either going to be gone or it's going to still be there, you know? So, like, with this thing, you just don't know. And that's what makes this so, so nuts. But to answer your question, so there's three things that I'm doing. The first thing we did was we said, we're going to budget for the worst case scenario. So we went into this saying, 10, 20, 30, all the way down to 70% revenue reduction. And this was way before the stimulus and everything else. So we said, we're going to make sure that we're still in business with a 70% revenue reduction. Whether I'm the only guy still in the building. Like, and our job is to save the business, not to save the jobs. So, because if we save the business, we save the jobs. So we understood that, you know, we're not going to be altruistic and say we have to save the jobs, because ultimately that's not the role of the CEO and the entrepreneur. It's to save the company in this kind of environment. So the first thing I do is communicate with my staff every morning. So I do a little Facebook post. Sometimes I look horrible. And I don't edit it, and I don't do a lot of bullshit to it. So I just spit it out on Facebook and I post it. And this is my internal company Facebook page. So it doesn't go outside to the real world. So it's kind of what I see going on for the day, how I feel. Some days I feel great, some days not so great, but I tell people that. The second thing I do is I have daily stand-up with my executive team, and we're now doing that 3 times a day. So, and the third thing I do is I send an email at the end of the week, kind of summarizing what's going on. So the biggest thing for us is to, first of all, budget worst case, communicate insane amount of communication. And I need them to see my face. They need to see that I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere. And then we're still going to be here, and then there's going to be an end to this, and we just don't know when it's going to be, but it will end at some point.
And, you know, I talk about not only, I love that cash position, you know, save the business, that will save the employees, right? But moreover, too, culture. And the companies like yours, and hopefully mine, we're built on a culture of core values. What are your core values of the business, and how are those being utilized through this time of uncertainty?
So it's the first one is stay positive, and that's a big one for me. Again, I told you, in the beginning, I suffered from a lot of negativity. So everything was like, next shoe drop, next shoe drop, next shoe drop. And I just, through constant beatings from what we use, Rhythm Systems as a consulting firm, it's a derivative of the Rockefeller habits, same kind of stuff. And we beat our core values into submission. So stay positive. The other ones, get the job done. Another one's 100% committed to the team, and the other one's keep smart. And those four are like paramount to my life. They come out of my skin, and we're using them all the time. So, but the biggest one is staying positive, because it's real hard. Like, the news is just killing everybody here. I'm telling my staff 5 minutes a day to news people in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Don't do any more than that. Being 100% committed to the business and each other, and just getting the job done. Obviously, right now, it's just really easy to not. Every day is a little less predictable, even though it seems like things are normalizing right now. But getting the job done is another one where, like, last week I got a phone call from a guy that makes hazmat suits. We make branded products, emblems, badges, labels, name tags, that kind of stuff. The guy that's making hazmat suits says, look, we were making 20 a day for the last 10 years, and now all of a sudden I got an order for 25,000. I don't know what to do. So I was like, we easily could have said, oh, this is a really shitty time. No one can get anything done. We drove down to his place, put on masks and gloves, looked at his products, and I just literally before you called me, took the hazmat suits, threw them in a FedEx pack, and hopefully we'll be getting a contract to do all that work for him in Mexico. So,
nice.
And that's just we easily could have not done it, but, entrepreneurs find ways to make money in any situation. So,
yeah. You know, what's interesting is throughout a thread with you is, even though coming from more of a negative background, which you and I kind of have an antithesis, right? I grew up with super poor, but super positive background, everything right. Positive. And then, but we both do one thing. We kind of seek what we want. And this idea of entrepreneurship and seeking what you want. And even to the point where you talked about the news, I also informed my company, hey, regulate to the news seek, meaning if it's important to know, what the death toll is, then go ahead and Google that at the end of the day once. Don't sit there and watch the number toll up, right? And all this other news that you don't give a shit about. So like seek what you want. So I, really encourage people to go out there and make a list of what you want to know, and then go ahead and do your searches at the end of the day to be informed of what you need to know. And that's both not only for safety and health, but also for opportunity, right? Like you said, when you know what your capabilities are as a manufacturer, and you can now apply that to other areas and not only help people, but make money and continue to pay people to do their job, which then makes other people money because they're ordering food and they're paying their rent and all those other things.
Ultimately, first of all, the advice you just gave is great and I'm taking it, but which is to seek what you want. It's smart. What I'm telling my people is 5 minutes a morning, 5 minutes a night. I'm gonna change that to seek what you want because it's smarter. I mean, but the other thing is, it doesn't sound good when I say to make money with the hazmat suits, but the truth is that I'm with you. And that's what I've said to my staff. We need to stay in business because the economy needs us and our customers need us. And people eat off, there's 10,000 people that eat off this company. And without this company, none of that stuff exists. So like,
it's so true. You know, you're a member of YPO and I'm sure mentorship means a lot to you and you mentor other people. Now, one of the things that I went through with myself, and you probably did as well, because you know, in the 90s, lost everything, is we feel guilty, right? We feel guilty because we're clever enough to figure out how, but here's what I said to one of my clients this weekend, an executive, pretty big one. He said, Dave, I feel so bad. I'm like, you know what? F you. Like, make the goddamn money and give it all away. But keep the money moving so that it keeps moving. Money doesn't disappear. It slows down. And your guilt is going to slow the money down more. And I think it's chickening out, saying, oh, I feel bad about, you know what? Guys who feel bad about don't know how to make it. That's what I think. Feel good about it that you're making the money move. You're keeping people employed. You're keeping rents going, insurance going, our country going. And so if you feel guilty about making money, give it all away. I don't mind, but don't deny us the ability to make it.
No, I'm happy to make it. Don't get me wrong. Right now, I want to say, like, you know, I have moments of like absolute terror. Like, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm petrified. And I want to say, like, I wake up and sweaty, but I'm petrified. And it's the petrified of losing it all than it is of, I have no issue making it and keeping it and doing something cool with it. But I think at the end of the day, I think right now I gravitate between the fear of, I'm comfortable because in the crisis mode. It's when I'm not working and I have downtime where I have probably my biggest issues. So,
yeah. You know what it is, there's two things that there's motivation and inspiration, first of all. But the interesting thing about motivation is the two people that are most motivated, meaning in these times it takes motivation. It can't last. You can't be motivated, but you can be inspired your entire life, but you can't be motivated all the time. Watch a football game. You'll see that. But people that are motivated are, one, people that are most fearful, and then two, the people that are most at peace. Those are the two types of people that actually are motivated. It's the ones that are in between that are paralyzed because they don't move. People that are at peace and people like you that can wake up terrified and then be like, all right, I'm going to cancel this terrified feeling by doing something. Right. And so when you're sitting still, that peace scares you, so that forces you to do something.
Yeah, what? No, I'll either go to the gym, I'll hit a heavy bag, or I'll go to work. Yeah. That's it.
And how is the family, for entrepreneurs, families always, you have such a large business, such a successful business, you know, family is not a new issue for you in balancing your family within the context of what you're doing. You know, what are the things that you're doing today to either take advantage of the family time or to be more productive while your family's probably at closer quarters with you?
So I think the thing is that the first thing is a lot of normalcy. So look, both of my kids I have a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, well, 16 and 17 now. My 17-year-old will be 18 next month. And I mean, he just got into American University, which is great. So we're excited about that.
My oldest is 21 today, so I'm giving her a shout out.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. She probably will never drink again now.
Exactly. Tonight, I'm a guarantee it. I'm breaking out the Jägermeister to teach her valuable lesson.
So that's my wife's job. So she's, all I'm really true is trying to bring normalcy to the house, right? So I built the gym in my house about a year ago. So my older one and I work out at night together. So he needs to get out he needs to get that out physically. My younger one is a video game nut, so he's playing video games. And We eat dinner together every night, watching TV. And again, I'm working. So like when I say normalcy to me is to get up at 5 a.m, exercise, have coffee, talk to my wife, go to work. And I'm in my office now. And as long as they don't, until they drag me out of here by my throat, like I'm still going to be here. So, and that to me is normalcy, you know? So, and if they drag me out of here by my throat, I'll do it to my house. So they just can't stop us from working.
Yeah, you know, you are one of the most successful entrepreneurs in America, if not the world, but yet you belong to YPO and you seek mentorship. You know, when I was successful in my 20s, I lost everything in my 30s and gained it back. But the one distinction I made in my career was I started to seek mentorship. The more successful I am, the more mentors I need and the more money I can make from those mentors. How important is mentorship, both for you to have a mentor, but also for you to be a mentor?
So, first of all, I love in YPO more than anything else. I love the fact that in my forum, most of the people in my forum are a lot younger than me. So the problems they're bringing to me are things that I have gone through. This is my third economic downturn. This is the craziest I've seen. So I want to say, like, you know, with 9/11, with dot-com bubble, and with the housing crisis, I think it was a little more sector. This is, but again, we're still in the middle of it, so we don't really know the story. But this, you know, I was just having lunch and talking to somebody. I said, you know, the thing about this that's crazy is it's worldwide. It's just, I mean, the financial crisis was too, but this is like, you know, I think in the Wall Street Journal this morning, there was articles on in Africa and Australia. So things are just, it's all over the world. My company in England was just shut down for 2 months. So, and they closed Friday. So it's just unheard of. So, but to answer your question again, it's nice to be able to speak to people in their 30s that haven't gone through this stuff and give them your advice, which is, you know, things like, you know, make sure you get cash straight, draw down on all your credit facilities, make sure you budget for 10, 20, 30. This will come to an end. They always do. Everything's cyclical. And the same thing I'll tell you, my older son, who's terrified right now, like terrified. And I keep saying, it's the end and we're not going broke. So like, you don't have to worry. So, and that's the stuff that was never said to me when we did lose it all. So like, what I'm trying to do is take what wasn't said to me. So what I don't want him to do is carry life experiences forward so that he has kind of that baggage with him the rest of his life. So this is an opportunity for him to learn from a very shitty experience and say, like, you know, how do true leaders deal with this? You know, in my opinion, you know, true leadership is, you used the word earlier, was inspiration. You know, leaders prep and they inspire. And, you know, as I see it, my role isn't to motivate my staff right now. It's to inspire them and set clear guidelines for them so they understand what it's going to take to get to the other side. So, and, you know, that to me, a lot of where I get my mentorship from is a lot of asking questions and a lot of reading books. So, you know, I'll read 2 or 3 books a week. You know, I'll spend 2 hours a day reading. And if I'm not reading, I'm doing Audible or watching documentaries. So, and that's been that way since my 20s.
I'll send you my books. I'd love to get some
anything on that. Anything.
We'll send it over. Mikey, make sure. Last question. You know, one of the things that I'm meditating on is I believe we're always in the middle of a miracle. And, you know, I'm obviously a big positive thinker. And when things are compressed in time, things are compressed in change, things are compressed in uncertainty. I study history. I read a lot like you because I'm always studying human nature and it never changes. So although I've only lived through, you know, 93, 97, 2001, 2008, historically, right, I've already studied the bubonic plague and polio and other, like historically, I've read about these things and I've seen what the leaders have done. And one of the things that all the great people that I have seen in history is, they always say, or they live their life as if they're in the middle of a miracle. And if you think in that perspective, we're in the middle of a miracle. You had mentioned these lessons for your son in this positive perspective. It really brought it out to me. What would be the one lesson that you would like to take away as you're in the midst of this, being such an avid reader and, you know, someone that has a great perspective? What would be that lesson, that miracle that you're looking for to get coming out of this? Because it will end.
You know, I'd like to think that having the right mindset all the time is there's a lot of value to it. So again, waking up in the morning, meditating on the day, starting the day, getting through the day, having the day end, and having it end properly and being in the moment, it's really worth all the effort I'm putting into it. So I think that just having that balance, making sure that that I keep my health and mentally where it needs to be, that I'm very focused on the job at hand for the day, and I'm not losing sight of what could potentially happen in the future, but I'm not prognosticating either positive or negative. I'm just being very realistic about, like I said earlier, about the 70% drop in revenue where I could have a 30% increase in revenue. So, but at the end of the day, that is there, and I'm not really very focused on what happened in the past. I think the biggest thing for me is to make sure that the biggest lesson is that there's value in living in the moment and understanding that I bring all my historical, all the learning that I've done in the past in the 48 years that I've been alive, that's serving me in this moment, and it's served me well. And I feel good regardless of the fact that things are insane out there. I mean, I feel ready for this. I'm really not scared. I'm petrified in the morning. I told you earlier, I wake up and I'm scared. There's moments where I'm petrified. But you know, if there's 24 hours in a day, I'm still sleeping at night. I'm still meditating. I'm still exercising. I'm still eating well. My family's healthy and my business is still here. You know, like I said, if I'm the last person here, I'm still going to be here. So, and I'll rebuild it. So I want to say I'm petrified in the morning, but I'm not scared. And I think at the end of the day, you know, you got to keep learning, and you got to keep a positive attitude because, yeah, this definitely sucks right now, but it won't suck forever.
I love that. It won't suck forever. I read a book with by Garen Jones, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life. And I think that is obvious in both of our lives. We have moments of terror, but most of the time we're extremely calm and prepared for what's going to happen. And I appreciate all that great advice. We'll have you back on. I look forward to meeting you in person. Yeah. Make sure you stay happy and healthy. We got the great Randy Carr, the CEO and president of World Emblem International, a great company that I promise you will be here as we get through this pandemic. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.